What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? I got a very special edition of the Warrior Soul podcast for everybody. So we run a weekly group, I guess you could call it. We call it the Warriors Obituary Society. What it really is just a group of us who get together each week. We don't normally publish these things. This is the first time I'm ever publishing anything like this. And we're not going to use last names in this. We'll use first names. But basically, the point of this group is for all of us to kind of get together, talk about the world, talk about our lives, kind of push each other forward. And there's a lot going on in the world today. A lot going on in the world right now. And we're hearing a lot of people talk. And what I wanted to do was to get this group of veterans together. And to kind of talk about everything, because I think everybody has stereotypes of what they consider, what the veteran community thinks. And then there's what people really think. And I'll say that, I won't again use any last names here, but the people on this call, they've all served in the military. There may be more joining us. There's three of us right now. And combat veterans, maybe I'm just being a little bit too long-winded here. I don't know. You guys can cut me off anytime. But yeah, what I wanted to do is we shoot the shit every week, and just wanted to kind of do a raw podcast here with our perspectives of what's going on out there in the world. So what's going on, guys? How are y'all doing?
Pretty good, Chris. I'm pretty good. Just sitting over here in Northern California.
Northern California, that both guys are from Northern California, so they have an even extra special perspective of what's going on. What I want to ask you guys is this. I mean, there's a whole heck of a lot going on. There's this huge thing going on as far as racial injustice. And, my feeling is that what happened was absolutely horrible. What happened to George Floyd was absolutely awful. As a veteran, I've served with people of all races, creeds. The Marine Corps was the only place that I ever met a pagan and a Wiccan. I had two of those guys in my boot camp platoon. I think everybody in the Marine Corps gets one in their boot camp platoon. But I think we bring a different perspective to this, and because I think, if you speak to anybody who's really served and somebody who's served honorably, a lot of us are very much against racism, against racial profiling, against racial injustice. At the same time, I think a lot of us are kind of being pushed. I mean, one person on this call, and if he wants to talk about it, he can, was almost jumped for wearing a veteran t-shirt, right?
That is correct.
So what happened there? Why did it happen?
So as a veteran, I was following what we stood for, by the Constitution of the United States, and our right of freedom of speech and the right to gather and protest. Well, I went to support somebody that wanted to see the protest. So I was supporting her and her ambitions to go. And I found myself alone in a situation with a different race of folks that were kind of egging me on to join the ruckus, and I refused to join the ruckus, and I told them who I was. I told them I was a veteran, and they told me that I didn't understand, that I was just a Caucasian male, which I am, and they were threatening to kick my ass, basically, in that mindset. Just because I was a white middle-class individual helping support their rights, it didn't matter. It was just, they saw the skin color and they're going to come for me.
You still there, Matt? I think you got cut off for a second. So essentially you were out there. You weren't counter-protesting. You weren't saying anything. You just kind of didn't want to participate at all in the ruckus that was going on. And so they decided, just based off of your t-shirt, they were going to kick your ass.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, it's it's purely the new stereotypical. If you have an American flag, if you wear a veteran-owned business t-shirt, it's a target on your back nowadays. It really is in some parts of this country, and it's sad to say, but it is. They automatically put you in a group of hatred, and they come after you. They're condoning hate, but yet they're using hate to get their point across, which is very interesting in the whole situation.
Yeah, it's a little bit crazy, and you know, I don't want it to sound like we're saying we're oppressed or anything like that, because I think if anything, it's an honor to have been able to serve your country, right? It's an honor. You have to apply to be able to do it. You get selected to do it. You get to do some amazing things, and you get paid for it, you know? But at the same time, I mean, you know, somebody like you who's put your life on the line, who's not out there trying to protest, not trying out there trying to interrupt the protesters either, but just trying to help somebody to witness what's going on because they wanted to witness it. You know, that's not something that I think you should be persecuted for at all.
Totally agree with you.
So what do you guys think about everything that's going on? What's your opinion on this whole thing?
Well, I can tell you how I've been feeling about it a little bit before I get into getting any opinions about specific topics. You know, like, I swore an oath to protect and serve the Constitution of the United States. And I remember when we were in the military, politics was not part of it. I remember there was even regulations around politics was not a topic that was allowed to be really discussed. You know, and being in the military, you know, fighting against terrorism, you know, something then, it was something overseas in the Middle East. You know, we had experienced 9/11, but for the most part, somewhat isolated from it. Yet, I think it was last week, potentially, in Santa Cruz, they had cops got called because they had a suspected van with weapons and bomb-making material. They showed up and they got ambushed, and two IEDs were detonated and killed an officer. And looking around how many places are burning and on fire and businesses getting burned to the ground, it's like, this is terrorism on American soil. I mean, for a couple hour drive away, IEDs are being detonated on American soil, and it's not getting news coverage. And it just boggles my mind. I mean, hearing about weapons caches of pipes and bricks, and it's just, I mean, it saddens me. I mean, this is obviously in America, this is the worst I've ever seen. I mean, I've been speaking with friends of mine that are in their 70s, and they said they've never seen anything like this. And so, I don't know, it's interesting. That's for sure.
What's your guys' feeling on what happened to George Floyd?
Well, you know, I definitely will preface this. It was murder, hands down. Second degree or first degree, I mean, I'm not the guy to necessarily decide that. I don't think it was a third degree due to the history with these two people. I just say I don't think it's a race issue as much as it's an issue of, you know, tyranny and kind of brotherhood protection. I think with the cops, I mean, 16 different investigations with that officer, it looks like there's going to be some major investigations into that police department. I honestly, my theory is, I don't know a lot about this, so it's hard for me to have a super solid opinion, but obviously I'm saying this, not, I guess, lightly, but it's a pretty, pretty messed up police department. Yeah. And city for that matter. So.
I'll totally agree with what Nate's saying. Nobody deserves to die, period. I mean, point blank, you put on that uniform and you're supposed to represent something. Justice, you're supposed to represent a peaceful justice, you know, keep the community calm. Dying over a $20 bill is just unacceptable to me. It's just ridiculous, especially where you're wearing the uniform. And I'm not going to say, like, I'm pro police officer. I understand their job and everything. But as the cover of the years growing up and seeing as I get older, there really is no accountability in the police system, like Nate was saying. They're just overprotected by police unions and by people that don't want to see a lack of a situation. I don't know how, I'm a big guy now, right, as a civilian, but you see the lack of discipline at all levels. And I'm not just saying with protocols of, what do you call it, incidents, but guys wearing the uniform at 300 pounds that can't even run. How does that represent anything? You know what I'm saying? There's no, if that guy doesn't have discipline to put on the uniform weight and cut weight like we did in the military, then there's no discipline in them at all. And that's to me, is the main problem with our police departments. It's the civilians that are wannabe military people that wear a uniform. And most of them, I'll be honest, when I was in high school, most of the guys that became cops were guys that were bullied in high school. That's something to prove. Now they had a gun and a badge, and those are the ones that shouldn't be on the force. So there's a total I won't say reform of the police departments, but a lot of cities that, you know, a guy that turns in a $20 bill and shouldn't have six officers respond to it.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion on it.
I hear you on that. I'm going to push back a little bit on that because I think there are so many good cops out there, right? There are so many good police officers. At the same time, though, you know, if any of us dropped the hammer on somebody and we weren't authorized to do so, right? If we took somebody's life and we weren't authorized to do so, not only would we be like really, really like spending our lives in prison, but our NCOs would be, our commanding officer would be, everybody, it would go up and down the chain of command. And I think that might be something that's missing from police departments in this country today. You know, whereas in the military, we have to deal with that chain of command issue. We have to deal with massive repercussions if we make a mistake like that. You know, it's been done time and again in different police departments, and they don't face the repercussions that we might have to face, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I've had my own issues with cops, whether it was the military, police. I remember not liking them. You know, usually you kind of mean there is that general persona where some people don't enjoy a lot of cops. You know, I've had bad experiences. I have witnessed racism with one of my veteran friends who's Mexican. We're in Florida, got stopped in his neighborhood riding bicycles where he owns a home. And that cop only wanted to speak to him and didn't want to speak to me. And I voiced my opinion and risked getting locked up in the process. You know, so my buddy told me to stand down. So there's major issues across the board. I mean, like we said, with George Floyd is a great example of many others where they're overreaching their authority as police officers. And I think definitely we got to change that. And I think part of the solution around it is obviously the one thing I do not support is the idea of taking any money away whatsoever from the police departments. That is, I think, a horrible, idiotic idea. You have to increase the standards, increase the training, and pay them. Give the police more money to be better. And that's, I mean, reform costs money.
No, exactly. And I think, you know, one of the things we are seeing here is a lack of training, right? Because if you train jiu-jitsu, for example, you know that if you're going to cut somebody's air circulation off, if you're going to choke them, you only have a certain amount of time before that choke can turn fatal, you know? And I think that one of the things that happens with a lot and, you know, to the civilians who are jumping on police officers because of this, you know, the decisions they have to make when their lives are in jeopardy, that's an insane thing. I mean, very few people ever get put in that type of situation where you have to make a decision as to whether your life's in jeopardy right now and whether or not you got to pull the trigger. And I think that the only way that you can even come close to being able to perform in a situation like that is more training, right? More training, more discipline, being able to do some of the things that we were able to do in the military that allowed us to perform. That needs to happen in a lot of these police departments. And if that funding gets cut, then that's not going to happen. And we're going to see a lot more fatalities.
We were trained with how to take down a person, and we would put knees on the neck with our own Marines as we would train this, and that's how we would practice before deploying into combat. That being said, 9 minutes, nine fucking minutes, that's a long time. I mean, 9 minutes is a long time, man. Like, you watch UFC, there's bouts of fight, they're not even 9 minutes long. You know, like, it's a long time. I mean, it's to a point where it was malicious and it was intended to hurt him. And it killed him. I mean, it was, yeah, it's horrible to see what happened. It's murder, and I haven't heard anybody at all support what happened. I mean, not one police officer, all of them. And I talk to police officer friends that are veterans weekly, and they tell me that they're disgusted by it. At the same time, they have people following them home, vandalizing their homes where their families are at. They're getting threatened. That's what bothers me a lot right now is violence, regardless of which way it's pointed. And right now, that's where my heart definitely goes out to police officers. This is not the time to say, you know, fuck the police. This is a time to, you know, to come together.
I think one thing I learned, Chris, on that protest that really opened out my eyes is that post I put where it was a middle-aged Caucasian female and Caucasian male, middle-class, spray painting all cops, the only good cop is a dead cop on the wall. And it's like, dude, you probably have never been stopped by a police officer in your life, one. And two, what are you doing? What is your purpose of saying what you're saying? It was very interesting to me. And it was really eye-awakening that it was just like a select individuals that had nothing to do with anything were just the ones starting all the ruckus. You know, just want to start ruckus and bring up stuff.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. The whole only good cop is a dead cop, or all cops are bad, or all cops are bastards, the ACAB thing. Yeah. You know, and I mean, I don't think any of this is solving anything at all. Yeah, it's bringing awareness. Yeah, the media is talking about it. But this is my honest to goodness perspective on this whole thing. In order for this whole thing to work, that guy in the Trump MAGA hat, you know, who has an AR-15, you don't have to like him, but he's gotta be there. he's gonna be there whether you like it or not, right? And so there's gotta be some cooperation there, right? There's gotta be some cooperation between all of us. We've got to be able to look each other in the eye for all this stuff to get solved. And it can't, if we're talking about absolute annihilation of one group or another, that's not going to work. It's not going to work in anybody's favor, right? That's the only way this country works. We need conservatives and we need liberals, right? I'm not one of these people who thinks all liberals are idiots. I'm not one of these people who think, you know, just because somebody disagrees with me, that they need to go away. Let's talk about it. Let's have a discussion. Let's have an open and honest discussion where we can all input things, right? And that's just not happening right now, because anybody with a viewpoint that differs from the mainstream media or anybody else, they get shut down.
Yeah, you make a good point, Chris, but we can't have conversations if one opinion is dominant. You know, if somebody doesn't like what somebody says, it just dominates the mentality of a mob, then we get nowhere with the conversations. And that's the biggest problem I'm seeing right now with social media. It's all one-sided. It's all, you know, it's just one thing that just mind-boggling to me, that we're teaching our youth that it's okay with a mob mentality to make your opinion right. And that's not the right way that we should be raising kids and showing the world how we act as Americans.
It requires you to be informed. I spend an exorbitant amount of time watching all of the live press conferences that Trump does about daily, almost. I think that guy's addressing the media more than once a day. And I watch it, because how the hell am I supposed to know if that guy's turning into a fascist or he, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't trust anybody that's a damn politician, in all reality. So it's like, yeah, I'm keeping an eye on everything. And at the same time, when you educate yourself, you start to get a little bit of a different opinion. I don't know most of the people, you know, out here in our area that are on the liberal left that would have the patience without being triggered to even sit through one of those conversations and actually listen to what's going on. And I think it would paint a whole different picture if people were willing to do that. But what's going on is this emotion. I mean, I've never seen this much hatred come out of people's mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, vile, vile, vile hatred, man. Like, it reminds me of like terrorism, the people we fought against in Iraq, you know, in the Middle East. People had just hated America and wanted to just hurt people.
Right. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Same
kind
of personality.
So, what do you guys think that, because I've been reading a lot about the history of the United States. I've been reading a lot about the Civil War, the aftermath of the Civil War, the early 1900s. What do you think we should do about the history of racism in the United States? Like, how do we deal with that? And you know, again, and I have to put the caveat here. I mean, this is a simple conversation. None of us are scholars or anything like that. Matt's definitely not a scholar, but you know, what do we do about that? Right. Because there is a history here of racism. There is a history here of inequality, right? What are we supposed to do about it?
Well, you see right now the desecration of a lot of the Confederate statues and monuments and leaders that owned slaves and whatnot throughout our past. And so they're starting to want to rename bases. And I think that it isn't solving, you can't wipe out history. I mean, it's starting to remind me of Hitler during World War II. It's like, you can't wipe out the past. I mean, at a certain point, you're going to have to wipe out Washington and Jefferson and all our nation's leaders, because now what you would, you know, value what they did now, it's a different context and it's of history. And I think, you know, valuing people for the merit of what they've actually done on a macro scale is really important. Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of where I'm looking at this whole history thing, is it seems like a lot of people don't want to really look at both sides and look at how people from even the Confederate did fight in America as a whole. You know, the Mexican-American War is a good example.
You erase history, it's bound to come back, period. It's just something that's going to happen. Right now is just this ball of hatred. We erase the history that made America. It's going to come back to bite us in the ass in the long run. You know, I mean, there's just so much that America's done good and done right. You know, it's America. We've had our flaws. We've gone through our stipulations and tried, you know, all that good stuff, our trials. You know, we're not perfect. Hell, half the world hates us when we travel to other countries. They say you're from America. They have this point of view about us. They still call us Yankees. I mean, get over it. At some point, yeah, let's reform. Let's talk about it. Let's have the conversation. But let's move forward, not backwards. You know, those guys ain't going to come out of the grave and bring up the Confederate troops again and start the Confederate War again, you know. So let's just move on. You know, let's start progressing instead of degressing in this country.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean – when you think about the fact that, like, the Civil War was fought 160 years ago, Jim Crow went well beyond that, right? Into the 1960s, right? And then we had the Civil Rights Act, which came around and it kind of legislated an end to it. And, you know, I mean, I think this whole idea of systemic racism, as far as what exists within the prejudices of those in power, you know, I hate to say this, but like, I don't think I could ever vote for Joe Biden, right? I don't think I ever could. And I've got a few different reasons for that. I mean, number one, Joe Biden voted for the Iraq War, right? He voted for the Iraq War. And, you know, even though I served in Iraq, I was very much against the Iraq War. I didn't think that it was worth our time over there. And I think that a lot of our brothers' lives got wasted in the process. And that pisses me off. But the second thing about Joe Biden is, I mean, he has been part of this problem for a long, long time, much longer than Donald Trump has, right? much, much longer than Donald Trump has. I mean, I think people tend to forget Donald Trump wasn't a politician before, you know, 5 years ago, right? And Joe Biden's been in the system for, we're talking almost 40 years, right? Where do we go with that, right? If Joe Biden gets elected, is this going to solve everybody's issues? Is everybody going to shut up then? Is everybody going to just stop with everything? Or is it going to be that this stuff continues, or this history of racism continues? And I mean, it might sound like I don't know what I'm talking about, and it's because I don't, right? All I know is what I see. I see Joe Biden's record. I see that Donald Trump's been in office for, you know, 4 years right now, almost 4 years. And yeah, the rhetoric has been a little bit crazy. I don't like everything that Trump says, but, you know, up until COVID-19 happened, it seemed like people were doing pretty good. You know, black unemployment was at its lowest point in history. The economy was skyrocketing. It was helping people. And that's where I'm coming from on that. And, you know, I'm kind of an anomaly because I'm somebody who holds a master's degree, PhD level education. And you know, I switched from being a Democrat back in 2016 after Trump got elected. I didn't vote for Trump the first time, but I switched because I see what happened there as far as the opposition goes. Every single thing that he did, nobody looked at it objectively as anything good. Nobody looked at it objectively. I'm saying on both sides, but nobody looked at anything objectively enough. And it seemed like the left side was just on a continual effort to sabotage anything that was happening, even if it was good for the country. Who you texted?
Oh, no, it was Mike.
Mike, yeah. No, you almost said the name, man.
No, sorry, man. No, took but you make stand. A good point. It's funny because you make a point about Biden. Now, don't really know much about Biden. He's more the East Coast politician. Being on the West Coast, you have your Nancy Pelosi's. You have your Dianne Feinstein's, who were in power during the Ronnie King incident, right? Yeah. And did absolutely nothing to police reform, did absolutely nothing for any kind of community, and just let it go. You know, it's and she's now all of a sudden she's on the wagon. And people need to start opening up their eyes and educating themselves on all different levels and see where everybody's coming from. Because we are just the pawns in the government scheme of whatever they want to do. And it's sad to say, and the one thing I hate about Joe Biden, and I'll be honest about it, is his son died of cancer, right? From serving the Iraq War. He has done nothing for veterans on that point. A burn pit cancers. Nothing. Yeah, it was fun for 2 months. He got on his high horse and said he's going to support veterans and all this other stuff, but he has done nothing after that. They're opportunists. They find a situation, they jump on it, they want the votes, and they move on. In a couple months, politicians won't even say anything about this. Let's be honest.
Absolutely. I mean, the way I look at it too with Joe Biden is I think he's a textbook racist. I mean, I see him pandering, changing his speech to be more, you know, hood or more like street. And that guy is not, it's not who he is. And also seeing him make comments like, if you don't vote for, then you're not black. And understanding the corruption that exists under the Biden with Ukraine and with China, that guy's a major threat to our country is someone like Joe Biden, in my opinion. I mean, he's also someone who has pretty convincing allegations against him about sexual assault, someone who champions for women's rights. He's a walking hypocrisy. And as much as when the last election was the first one I didn't vote, I was pretty frustrated between Hillary and Trump. I didn't want to vote. And then being in California, it knew come out of college. And so we would go to Hillary anyway, and I'd have a choice. And I've been pleasantly actually surprised by his leadership and what he's been able to do. I mean, he's done more for veterans than I think any president has done. And what he's done for the VA, military funding, restructuring it, making it more efficient. I mean, he's done a lot for the military and for veterans, for
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I see that too. I got to ask you guys this question though, because I mean, you know, people are going to listen to this and they're going to bring up the obvious, which is, has he been too divisive for the country, right? Is his rhetoric such that it's hurting us more than everything else he's doing is helping us?
I don't think it's his rhetoric that's hurting the country. I think it's the media's interpretation story that they're telling on Trump, how they're manipulating people. Trump is not the issue. The issue is the media, the corrupt billionaires behind it, the people behind Facebook, Google, all of those types of people who are trying to manipulate the political game for pure power. They are the issue. I don't think Trump is. I mean, I know what you say about, you know, what he's saying and some of his rhetoric, right? I think I look more at Trump as a fulcrum between the two parties. That he's not a Democrat or a Republican. He's a narcissist. You know, when people call him a racist or a sexist, I'm like, no, he's a narcissist. There's a difference. You know?
What is that difference?
Narcissist is kind of like a person who's all about themselves, right? And so he's hyper-focused on success himself and his mission versus I don't think he's hung up on being and racist towards black people. Nothing in his record and his social circles, anything points towards that at all. However, I know how what he says can be construed. And I every time he'll say things and I'm like, oh, why'd you say that? That's not going to look good. And that doesn't sound good. And I cringe all the time when I watch him. I mean, I cringe. It's like, oh. You know, there's a lot about him that I don't feel comfortable watching. And at the same time, I want an effective leader first and foremost. I mean, as much as Obama made you feel good, did he really make anything change? And, you know, he might have been a good person. He could bring people together, and he's better for that. I agree. I think definitely right now it'd be great to have a president that isn't such a law and order president. And at the same time, I guess it is what it is. I mean, we'll see how the votes come. You know, election's coming up soon, and we'll see what happens, you know, coming soon.
Yeah, here's the thing. We could point the fingers at everything else, but the Electoral College got Trump in office.
Right.
So basically, it wasn't the people who voted Trump into office. Electoral College voted Trump into office.
Right, as has every president. Right?
Yeah. So
I mean, the votes do influence it on swing states, so it's not completely void of voting. You know, the whole thing does rely. It's just certain states that are like California, who is overwhelmingly blue, that it doesn't. It's not going to work. You know, so it's just on the swing states where it matters. So votes do count, right? And I think it's important to show up and vote. You know, just out of principle and practice more than anything, regardless of certain.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
One thing I will say here as well is that, you know, again, I'm somebody who I voted for Obama. I wasn't a big fan of Trump when he came around. What I said though, when he got elected to office was that I was going to give him a chance, you know? And I think that what you were saying, Nate, was when it came to his press briefings and the sound bites that the media chooses to focus on, the sound bites that the media pulls out of context. I mean, you know, can we bring up some examples of that? Like, when has it actually happened? Like, what are some things that you guys
think? For example, they keep asking him at the briefings, when is he going to finally address the American people? What happened with George Floyd? He did. He addressed the entire nation and they banned his speech from Twitter. And so none of the mainstream media aired his entire address to the nation addressing George Floyd. And when you actually listen to it, it sounds so freaking presidential. You'd be like, wow, actually he said it perfectly. He said it. I mean, that's where it's like the media is painting this picture like he hasn't done things. And he's like, no, I have. Like, you guys are creating drama. You know, like there's a difference. Like, they're trying to make money on their media, and they're not airing it. For example, when Trump will address, they will only show a small portion versus some people will show the entire thing. And it's important to educate people, not manipulate them. And that's what I'm seeing going on in mainstream media, CNN, NBC, goes on.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, I've seen that too. It is kind of insane. It is kind of insane as far as this goes. And there are definitely times when I want to just grab them and say, stop saying that, you know, but I think of what politics was like prior to him, right? There really wasn't much difference between the two parties, if you really think about it, policy wise, right? You had President George W. Bush, you had President Obama, you had, prior to W, you had Clinton before that, you know, then you had the first Bush. I mean, things kind of didn't change much at all. And I think, you know, in this case, and what boggles my mind is like, people question democracy on this. You know, Trump is somebody nobody expected to get elected to office, right? I remember election night, right? Everybody was shocked, right? And it was supposed to be kind of like a coronation for Hillary Clinton. But then all of a sudden, like, Trump gets elected and people are like, what? You know, and it was like the end of the world for some people. And a lot of people expected the country to immediately go downhill, immediately crash. Everything was going to be awful. And you know what? If it wasn't for COVID-19, things probably would have remained normal, right? But that is a black swan event that happened that was completely out of the norm, you know. This whole thing will boggle my mind about COVID-19 was how it got separated amongst party lines, right? If you lean conservative or libertarian, you were like, fuck, this virus isn't real, right? Or maybe it's not real, but maybe it's overblown, right? And if you're a liberal, you're like, lockstep, wear a mask, social distance. If you try to go to a restaurant, or if you try to go outside, or if you try to go visit your family member, you are a Nazi who's trying to kill thousands of people.
And guess who is right? The Republicans, who said this is a bullshit, because now the CDC, the WHO now come out that the asymptomatic transmission is highly unlikely. You've got people reporting into the hospitals for sicknesses due to breathing in bacteria from their masks, and the fallout that suicide rate hotline is up 800%. I mean, you have domestic violence up. You've got child abuse up, and you've got people who've lost jobs and probably won't get jobs back. And it's like, and which was worse? And it go, and now the numbers are showing the states that didn't do anything, same numbers, same simple number. It didn't do anything. It was a mistake. For as long as it was a mistake. Not saying initially was what we didn't know, but when you look at it in hindsight, I mean, I've been saying this for a while. Like, I'm not a fan of how this is being handled.
You know, there were two Marines who died at 29 Palms because they were forced to wear masks on a PFT.
No, I didn't hear about that.
They died?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
It's hot as shit in 29 Palms.
Yeah, man.
That's
right. Well, the CO2, though, but it's lack of oxygen.
It's and the thing is when we talk about the military right now, what people ain't watching is all these other countries that don't like us. They want us to fight inside. They're loving it right now, while they're just building up and doing whatever they want around the world right now. You know, Russia. I mean, apparently Russia's been flying jets over Alaska again and going near our ships again and starting, you know, poking the bear again. And you got North Korea's is doing, they're on their own program again.
China and India are brink, and Pakistan are all at the brink of going to war.
Yeah.
Crazy times. It's crazy. Your UFO sightings are up in Idaho.
Yeah. UFO sightings are up in Idaho?
Yeah.
It's important news right there, Chris.
I mean, we are, you know, we do have a space force. I mean, if that says anything.
I believe in UFOs, man.
Me too.
There's got to be something out there, right?
Yeah, there's something out there. I thought I'm waiting. Just turn this whole thing upside down.
You know
Trump
what?
Trump takes off the orange suit. And he's an alien. I'm here to help.
Yeah. I always wonder if there's really a Sasquatch.
There is.
I'm sure there is. I mean, there's been all kinds of distinct types of animals and humanoids, primates, and yeah, I mean, I could see it being possible for sure.
Nice. Bro, I was watching it the other day. Somebody just filmed a 7-foot freaking black wolf that they thought was extinct up in Canada.
Really?
A 7-foot black wolf?
Yeah, attacked a little dog.
And there's a video of it?
Oh, yeah.
7 foot.
Jesus Christ, I got to find that.
They're saying it's a rare, rare breed. They know they existed in the past, and now it's back.
Interesting. Polish. I've heard this of a lot of animals through the lockdown. I'm out.
Oh, yeah.
That's insane. Well, we've gone from talking about important issues to talking about Sasquatch. How do you guys want to wrap this up? Where are you guys at with all this? What do you guys want to say to the community out there?
Yeah, you know, I think the advice that I give myself in this whole thing, I've been finding myself kind of being lower vibrational and getting caught up emotionally in a lot of this, finding myself being angry and frustrated and sad even with watching what's going on. And the advice I give myself is to walk into the world and don't perpetuate hate and really try to raise your vibration and look at things a positive way and stop worrying about, you know, all this fear and start thriving again. So that's been my big goal, is to kind of go out there and reframe for people and try to bring a little bit more of a positive spin on things, because it's pretty doom and gloom out there right now.
I would say words of advice, just stand together or we all fall. You know, respect each other's opinion, respect the human being in front of you. Who cares what's religion, culture, you know, race, skin color? I don't care what you want to call it. Respect the person in front of you, and you get the respect back. That's all it is to it. It's just respect. Respect and discipline, and, you know, have that open conversation, you know? There's no more need to be taking human life for stupid reasons anymore.
Yeah.
You know, over dumb stuff. I mean, in my town alone, a guy got shot for cutting somebody off the other day. Cut somebody off and you're going to start shooting. Come on, people. Let's get together. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's my feeling too. No matter what you think is going on out there right now, and no matter what our problems are right now, these are the best times we've ever lived, right? As human beings, right? It's the easiest time. We don't have a world war going on. We've got the world at our fingertips with technology. We have every opportunity in the world to make the most out of this life. And that's what I think we need to be doing, you know? And, you know, I also want to say that no matter what the color of your skin is, you know, who you call your God, whatever. I mean, I love our community. I love our community. I love those of you who are out there who put your lives on the line for this country. And, you know, I think that if anything, we as veterans, we got to step up these days and we've got to act like leaders, you know, we've got to really be contributing to our communities. We got to act to transform our communities. We got to act to teach our children the right way, to keep them away from racism, to keep them away from friggin', you know, the victim mentality and put them into productive patterns in life. I mean, it's up to us to do that.
Sir.
So, all right, guys. Well, I am going to finish this up. I want to thank you all for listening. It's just three of us really shooting the shit right now. And, you know, we're just wanted to put this out there because I know a lot of you are out there probably thinking about, you know, what to make of all this. And to be honest, as you probably gathered from this conversation, we're all trying to figure out what to make from it too. So, you know, we're not scholars. We don't purport to know anything more than anybody else. It's just, we're putting our views out there and, you know, hope you guys are all being safe out there and pushing forward. So this is Chris Halbert and my two colleagues here, and we are out.